ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Overtime 141. Mark Bland, Tony Kazina.
Yes.
And Bobby, producer Bobby.
Dude, that was the most badass intro we've ever had to Overtime.
You really think so?
Yeah.
Right back into it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get into some business. Right, Tony Kazina, thank you so much for being on the main show, man.
My pleasure. Thank
Appreciate
you for having
it.
Me.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, Strictly Insane Wrestling, our friend Tony Kazina is going to be fighting Goldust, WWE World Tag Team Champion currently Goldust, on November 2nd in Crossville, Illinois.
Good. I like that. I like the sound of that. I deserve to be in the ring with world champions.
Could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Halfway through the match, when you throw him into a corner, could you go for a chop and then say out loud to the entire crowd, "This one's for Mark Bland," and get it on video, and then slap him right across. They just get him a good one. "This one's for Mark Bland." Just one time, man. One time for me.
I think. All right, if you could do it.
If you could do it,
I might.
It'd be nice if you did that. I think it would be really interesting, especially if, like, all of a sudden on, like, Saturday night at 1 o'clock in the morning, I get a video from you, and you're like, "Check it out." It's just you slapping him across the chest, and then, like, he's looking at you all weird, like, "Fuck's Mark Bland? Fuck's that guy doing?" All right, I got another piece of advice here.
Yeah, okay, let's get into the advice. I wanted to hear what the hell you got to say about the city of St. Louis.
Oh, you ready for that?
And our St. Louis Cardinals.
I got to tell you.
Damn it.
Oh, go.
All right. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. I am not a huge fan of the attitudes of St. Louisans, and I've never been ashamed to say that live on this radio show ever.
Okay.
We know that.
Right.
You've listened to many a show. You've been a part of many a show.
Absolutely.
You know that I am not afraid to say these things.
Correct.
Out loud in front of anyone.
A St. Louisian.
Now, I'm also a 37-year resident of the city of St. Louis, born and bred here. I know these people like the back of my hand. And right. Most of you, no disrespect, a lot of you are Hoosiers.
Ouch.
Hoosiers that like conservative people like Mitt Romney. Okay? Not knocking you for that. Now, I caught some serious slack and back smack. This past week because Deadspin came out with an article about the St. Louis Cardinals fans.
I forgot about this, yeah.
Yes, and basically explained that St. Louis Cardinals fans always try to treat themselves as the underdog, even though they're perennially not the underdog by any means whatsoever.
Of the last three seasons, the St. Louis Cardinals have been in the NLCS all three times.
Tend to be very arrogant in their day-to-day handlings of their baseball team. Whereas, and we've discussed this, a lot of people hate on Lance Lynn in the St. Louis area. Now,
yes.
These are supposedly the best fans in baseball, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not cocky if you can back it up, though.
No. The best fans in baseball.
Correct.
But they're not baseball players. They're not coaches for baseball teams. They're just fans. And my problem is you hate on Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn is under Lilliquist right now, who's the pitching coach.
Derek Lilliquist.
Derek Lilliquist is not an idiot. Neither was Dave Duncan when he was here. Neither are any of these guys that have positions in Major League Baseball. They've been doing this for a long time. They're smart, and they know what they're looking for. And if they feel that they have a guy who is ill-prepared or not successfully able to do the job that they put him on the mound to do or to pick up the bat and hit the ball the way they want him to, they're not going to hire him. They're smarter than you. They don't work at the cupcake factory putting icing on top of the cupcakes.
Ooh.
You do.
Right, and one example for sure that we were talking about was the whole situation with Tony La Russa. When he was in St. Louis before he retired, people the last season were talking a lot of shit about Tony La Russa. And here's the whole thing. This man has been a manager for five World Series, and he's been a champion now for three of those.
He's a dick.
Potentially, he is a dick.
I don't know.
That
don't
doesn't mean. Hey.
Potentially, though, he could be.
He could be a dick. That doesn't mean he ain't good at what he does.
And people were knocking La Russa for the decisions he was making, for leaving David Freese in, for leaving Lance Lynn in, for screwing up and putting the wrong pitcher in the playoffs. Now, for someone who has played the game of baseball, for someone who understands the game of baseball, it's a different story.
I played Little League.
I've never played the game of baseball professionally
or even in high school. I was almost drafted by Tampa Bay and Kansas City until I tore my rotator cuff. So for someone who has played at that level, who was very good at what he did.
You have a very John Cruckish physique, by the way.
I do.
Yeah, good call.
And John Cruck played Major League Baseball and was good at it.
Yeah.
Some people would say.
You and Mo Vaughn and John Cruck.
Yeah, and Kirby Puckett.
And Kirby Puckett. And then Prince Fielder in the last few seasons.
There. Yeah. So someone like me could critique and get away with it. But I do understand what you're saying. A lot of people in St. Louis try to put on that Mike Matheny manager hat or that Tony La Russa manager hat.
And they don't know what they're talking about.
And they don't understand some of the basics of baseball.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's just life in general. I get into conversations constantly online with people who want to discuss politics with me. I understand, ladies and gentlemen, that I have a different opinion on politics than a lot of you conservatives and some moderates and people out there. I also know that I have a way of venting my politics,
right,
and I have a way of handling myself while discussing politics that you might not agree with or you might not understand. You are a high school gym teacher. You don't do nothing with politics, idiot. I get paid to host a political radio show syndicated. Shut up.
Ow.
Literally, shut your mouth. Don't come on my Facebook page after you got done kneeling carpet into a corner for a week talking about, oh, I got it all figured out on this whole Obamacare thing. You don't. You don't know what you're talking about. I do. You know why? Because all day long, well, like I said, you're putting frosting on cupcakes at the cupcake factory, or you're kneeling carpet into a corner, or you're coaching a high school football team, or whatever, you're not doing any research on politics. I am. I'm researching politics. I'm reading the things. I'm reading the stats. I'm talking to the players in the game. I'm the one who's doing the real work to research these things to know what I'm talking about so I don't get sued for not knowing what I'm talking about.
Right. It's like I am a wrestling fan. I am not any part of the business at the moment. I would like to eventually, but it's if I were to go to Tony and turn around and say, Tony, you know who the greatest wrestler of all time is?
Would that be me?
And I told you Joe Schmo from, you know, wherever.
Kirby Puckett.
Yeah, I told you Kirby Puckett. What is that guy's name? Kevin Green.
Right.
Was the greatest wrestler of all time. You would look at me and go,
I agree.
Are you fucking stupid? Would be your exact response. And then you would turn around and school me on who for this reason, this reason, and this reason. So I agree with you. St. Louisans are not bright.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a bad person and I'm not trying to get on your bad side. I'm not against you. I'm not your enemy because I have a difference of opinion. I'm a realist. Okay? I'm not sitting here trying to say that Lance Lynn sucks. I'm not sitting here saying Lance Lynn's the greatest of all time.
Correct.
What I'm saying is you don't know that Lance Lynn sucks as bad as you think he does because you're not qualified to say that. And you know what? I'm 100% right in my statement because you aren't a baseball coach. You don't do it for a living. Now, there are people out there that probably are baseball coaches that are very successful at what they do. They can look at a Mike Matheny situation or a Lance Lynn situation. There are pro wrestlers like Tony Kazina and myself and a few people that can look at certain individuals within the sport and go, he's got it, he doesn't have it, he's working good, he's not working good, that was a bad decision, that wasn't a bad decision. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Based off of experience. But that amount of people that can literally do that is so insignificant on the major overall amount of people that live in the world that you can't possibly be one of them every time.
Right.
I'm telling you, in Little League, I hit 3 home runs, and they were proud of me, but then I'd get my ass chewed out because I was too busy staring at the Goodyear blimp in the sky when I was in the outfield that I'd missed the fly ball.
That doesn't surprise me.
Now, what's that all about?
That does not surprise me in the least bit about you, man. I'm just going to be honest with you. I love you, but that doesn't surprise me. You seem like one of those guys.
I was 8 years old.
Pie in the sky, baby.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to stare at the Goodyear blimp. It's a blimp up in the sky.
That's what I thought.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's what I want you to do. On November 2nd, I want you...
Don't plug him anymore. No. He's just going to go do his business. I need a chest chop on Gold Dust, and we're going to call it a day.
Hold on. I'm writing it down. Chest chop.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
All right.
All right, let me read one of these advice. Lasers, like I said, this is my thing. I'm not against your St. Louisans. I'm a St. Louisan myself. I love you to death. Give these guys who are professional baseball players a break. Give these sports athletes a break. Give the Green Bay Packers a break. I mean, they suck, but still, like, just give them a break.
Oh, my God. What is their record currently? Their record currently is 3-3.
Yeah, they're 50%. I'm better at peeing into a toilet bowl than they are at winning football games. Okay?
All that matters is they have 5 Super Bowl championships.
Yeah, and you know what? I've also replaced 5 toilet bowls. So guess what? So you know what?
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. All I care about is
I'm excited to be in the top 100, baby.
You are in the top 100.
A St. Louisan in the top 100.
All right. Got some advice here.
Let's go.
This is going to be a long story, though.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Almost 4 years ago, before we were married, well, let me start it off this way. My husband and I are both having a difficult time dealing with a situation that happened 3.5 years ago, and I fear that this is going to ruin our marriage.
Oh, shit, and you've been married for 4 years.
Does she know me?
Almost 4 years ago.
Almost four years ago before we broke up
because I was upset with him coming home at 3 or 4 a.m. every morning and going out drinking with his coworkers after work. When we were together, he was always playing video games, so I felt distance from him. I let him know how I felt numerous times, but things didn't improve, Mark, so I called things off after 5.5 years. I felt like our relationship wasn't progressing, and if anything, was taking 2 steps backwards. Mark, we were broken up for about 5 to 6 months. After being apart for 3 months, I ended up sleeping with someone twice. It meant nothing, and there isn't a day that goes by that I don't regret it, even though we were broken up. I guess deep down, I still had feelings for him, and if anything, what happened with the other guy made me realize that. Throughout the breakup, we still talked, and about 2 to 3 months after I slept with the other man, my now husband and I went on a trip together out of town. He ended up proposing on that trip, and I said yes. I was too scared to tell him what happened and felt that since we were broken up, I didn't cheat on him, so I have been keeping it bundled up for the past 3.5 years. I did still have feelings for him, and I didn't want to ruin that. Well, life became perfect after that. He changed, I changed, our relationship couldn't be better, and now we have a wonderful addition to our little family. Yesterday, though, it happened. He has periodically brought up the other man because, I guess, he had a sneaking suspicion. I can't even remember how the conversation started, but I just couldn't say anything when he brought it up, and my whole body just got numb. He knew at that moment what the truth was, but said everything was going to be all right. We weren't going to get divorced over it, and then he knows that we were broken up at that point, so there's no problems. Unfortunately, things have taken a turn for the worse since that discussion. I've caught him crying. He's questioning every little detail and about how and where it happened. And I told him there's nothing to gain from knowing that information. We are more distant right now than we ever have been. I've brought up us going to counseling, but he has said no, which is part of the reason I'm talking to you, because I'm sure he will read this or he will see this letter, and any feedback or words of wisdom saying it will be all right in the end could help me. I know how he is, and it will get brought up more often than not. We both have a hard time avoiding the past and moving forward, which is why I fear for our marriage at this point. Please help.
All right, here's the problem. You screwed up by not telling him from the get-go, this is what I did. So if you would have said that, it would have been fine. But now, 3.5 years later, that he's finally found out, that's what's going to cause the problem. So in the long run, you screwed shit up because you didn't tell him, and that's why you caught him crying. That's why you're having problems now. Had you been honest, because probably in his mind, and I know in my mind, this is what I would be thinking, is for the last 3.5 years, has she been doing this still? Even though she tells me she hasn't been?
Right. Has she been talking to this dude? Is there some secret text messages I don't know about? What's the deal?
I'll tell you what the deal is. It's the guy's fault.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why.
He's just making a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, what was he doing when they were first together? He's coming home drunk late.
Right. He was creating the problem.
So you've got nothing to blame but yourself.
For treating the relationship with more respect.
Let's call it the first half of the relationship and how it came to a conclusion with her ending up with another guy.
Now, see, I get yelled at by my wife every single week for going to bed at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm at home, and I'm not doing anything, and I'm not out drunk or partying or something like that. Sometimes I'm hanging out with Bobby, or sometimes I'm somewhere else, but I'm handling business in most cases. I'm not drunk or anything. I just end up sleeping,
but you're
going to bed late. That's my thing.
If the guy's at the house, but he's ignoring her, and he's out in his own world playing video games, I mean, just follow the bouncing ball of logic.
Right. Eventually, things are going to fall apart.
You neglect your lady long enough, then you get a guy like me that comes around.
Oh, shit. Tony Kazina.
I would never. You would stop
hit,
that.
You would hit her with the casino? You'd hit her with the casino?
But no, seriously. Seriously.
You'd shatter dreams.
You'd shatter her dreams?
Why is this guy all bent? He should be angry at the person in the mirror. And this girl to be all beside herself over that and feeling guilty. Hey, if this guy would have been taking care of his lady from day one and instead of neglecting her, coming home drunk like a jackass and playing, you know, here we are again with a grown-ass man. I'm nothing wrong with playing little Nintendo, but at some point you got to take care of your partner too. Or you get the consequences.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. All right, I got some questions here.
Okay.
Could we as a global society eventually not require people to work for a living and still
it's
maintain?
It's going to happen.
It's already happened, guys. At some point in our past, we weren't a society like we are now. There was just a bunch of people in an area together, literally falling asleep when they got tired, waking up, and hanging around each other all day. They didn't work.
Oh,
they
my got, house.
They would get hungry. They would go hunt something somehow. They would find a way to kill it, to eat it. Then they'd go to sleep again. Like, it was literally living off their primordial instincts, period. Like,
right.
I'm wet and cold. I need to warm up, so I will cover myself with leaves. You know what I'm saying? I'm hungry. Yeah. I will go find something to kill. Like, and they were fine. They were born. I remember, they lasted 9 years. They died. Literally.
9 years.
Now we last 80-plus years.
Here's
so I think that it would happen.
Well,
again, potentially.
Well, it has to. I mean, we're at the threshold, I don't, you know, for lack of a better word, of this profit-driven...
We're at a crossroads.
We're at a crossroads, and I was saying it earlier. It doesn't have to be an evil capitalism thing, but it's the end game of it all, so to speak, and I was saying it earlier, where you start with, you have a mom-and-pop store, so do I, so does Mark. Mark's is more successful, he buys you off, you get to retire nicely, he buys me off, I get to retire nicely, you go on to form a giant chain, like McDonald's was one store, and it expanded
right.
to what it
eventually
is now.
Eventually you build.
So now, and all the mom-and-pops are gone, you have giant corporations. I don't care if it's car tires, radios, hamburgers. We're at the end game because everybody, there's just a handful of giant corporations that rule everything now for
right.
the most part. You understand what I mean? That doesn't mean, I think that's a natural evolution of it. And not only that, add to it that all of the working man jobs are gone. They're automated. They're not coming back. Population continues to grow. You cannot have enough jobs to supply the ever-growing population. But it's never addressed. It's never addressed. They say, well, you want a better job? And I wrote a blog about this in 2007. You want a better job? These right-wing radio hosts. And I've listened
to
plenty.
You call them nut jobs.
I've listened to plenty
T-hottest,
of them.
The T-hottest.
So let's say I agree with them. I say, all right, you're right, I'm wrong, let's do it. So we all run off and get college degrees. He's a lawyer, he's a doctor, he's a plumber, he's an electrician, he's a this, he's a that. How many positions and how many jobs of each of those type of things that pay a good wage do you think are actually out there? You understand what I'm saying?
Not as many as people think.
Not as many. And if there's a flooding, one of my very best friends, she's a prosecuting attorney. What does she tell me? There are so many lawyers out there, baby lawyers they call them, that they're trying to get rid of everybody, at least like working for the, you know, not your own private firm, but working for the cities, working for the states.
Right.
And hire these baby lawyers at a fraction of a price. If I've got 10,000 electricians and you're trying to get into the profession, what happens to that wage? Goes down.
Exactly.
It's supply and demand.
All right. Bobby.
Yes.
Last question for overtime.
Okay.
I got two questions here. I'm going to see which one you want to feel.
Okay.
What is something that you don't feel guilty about that others say you should? Or... what is the most dangerous thing that you do at least once a day?
The most dangerous thing I do at least once a day.
What would you say the most dangerous... we'll all feel this question. What is the most dangerous thing you feel you do at least once a day?
Every one of us, I'm sure, has done it because we wouldn't have gotten to this station to be able to do the show. Most dangerous thing I do every day is get in a car and drive.
Potentially, yes. I would agree with you. That is probably the most dangerous. Well, you know.
And it's not most dangerous because of the fact that we're driving. Or we, me, you, and Tony are driving. It's the people around us.
Some lady called me a dumbass the other day. You believe that?
Yep.
God almighty.
I do.
I just met you. I can't comment on that yet.
All right. The most dangerous thing I think I do all day, aside from driving, potentially being the number one, would probably be sticking myself with a needle for my diabetes. Like,
ouch.
You have to do that. And here's the thing. Although the needle's only so long, and there's pretty much no chance that it's going to affect me whatsoever, I am literally sticking something into my body that is not normally a part of my body.
Yeah.
And injecting it with something. Now, I have to trust that whatever they put into the syringe is the medicine that I need. Let's say they get a bad dose or whatever, and I inject that into myself. I don't know, because I don't do that for a living. I can tell Mike Matheny how to coach the Cardinals because right. I'm a St. Louisan, right. But I don't know how to decipher what's in my syringe because I don't put my own syringe. Like, it comes the way it comes.
It could be pee.
Could be anything. So I think that's the most dangerous thing I do every day. What about you, Kaz?
Oh, what do I do? I'd probably go with the driving and texting.
Yeah.
Driving and texting at the same time?
At the same time.
Or just two really crazy women.
Well, that too. But I'll tell you what. I do the voice text thing. So right. I just hit one thing and I talk. But you got to be good when you're texting. You don't just sit there driving down the street at 40 miles an hour looking at your keyboard.
Sorry.
You wait until you're at a red light and then you look at the keyboard.
All right. Well, the other question I really do like, let's throw that up on our Facebook pages and get some opinions on that from there.
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, I really want to get some opinions about that. And next week on the queue, we'll read some of the answers.
Sounds like a plan. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime. I want to thank Tony Cozzina so much for coming. Strictly Insane Wrestling, November 2nd, Crossville, Illinois. Goldust versus Kaz. It's going to be a huge match. I want everybody to pay attention to that. Also, producer Bobby, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely.
We will see you guys next time on the queue.
Show me.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Shining. What's up? Lucius left foot's on fire. Trying to block my shine just ain't gonna happen, so don't try. Every time I get on this microphone, I like to spit. Ink ain't hit up after hit. This chemistry is so legit. I came equipped like a prophylactic. Now they riding beast.